chapter 8 tonight. We see that here, you know, Jesus, in talking to John the Beloved, starts in chapter 8, verse 1. We see the seven seals, a sign as it comes along. Let's read it, verse 1. And when he opened the seven seals, notice, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Now, imagine a silence for a half hour. Just being quiet. 1.5 hours. Sitting there and just waiting for God to speak. This is a time where God is not only making the church to understand that he's not really speaking to the world, but we see that now that from heaven, he's revealing, you know, what is going to happen to the church and to the people that are here. We notice that a space here, it's a half hour total of silence where nobody can speak, nobody can hear anything. It's amazing the way God has always worked through history to accomplish his perfect will. His perfect will. And then think about this. Imagine silence. That even though the world is active and the angels are watching, can you imagine what it will be where you can't really speak or hear any kind of a noise, but there will be a silence so that people will know, hey, why is God not speaking anymore? And then look at verse 2 to 5. The golden center. Now verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So we see the seven in the number of completeness. Seven is a number of completeness. 7 days in the week, on the eighth day, you start a new week. Eight is a number of new beginnings. And then look at, there were seven spirits. Yet, there is one spirit. In the book of Isaiah, he tells us there are seven spirits, but the one spirit. Seven churches, yet one church. Seven horns, perfection of power. Seven eyes, perfection of fullness in sight. Seven seals, completely in perfection of God's plan, set forth in one book. In one book. And then thirdly, we see that these angels are standing in some special relation to God as they're waiting upon God. And fourthly, the same time, these are not necessary of higher order. That the angels who have been, notice, in the presence of God, they're standing back and waiting to see what God is going to do to the world. Look at the world today. I mean, I sit here and I travel all over the country. And you go to these places and you begin to see, you know, churches that are barely making it because of the people within the church that are not committed to holiness of God. They don't want to do what God says. So they become weak. And what happens when you become weak in the church, instead of having holiness within the church, they bring all of their carnality into the church. They become a Corinthian church. Where the church is divided, you have those that are carnal, you have those that are spiritual. And then the ones that are carnal are looking for those that are young and very, maybe a week or two or a month or a couple months have come to know Christ, and they're trying to take them away from the cross of Jesus Christ. That happens in every church. But it's so cool that when you get rooted and grounded in God's word, that no one can touch you because you know God. And you know who he is. Look what he says in verse 3. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Incense with the prayer of the saints ascended before God from the angels. And did you know that when we're praying, there are prayers are in the presence of God, and sometimes we don't get our prayers answered maybe a week, a month, or maybe 30 years from now. It's up to God. But the prayers are before the Lord, the prayers we pray. And God knows exactly when our prayer is going to be used. When God will allow you to see your prayer being answered. When I first got saved, I took a piece of paper and I was putting guys' names that I knew in my, you know, that I grew up with in high school. junior high school. And I start praying for each one of those guys, 30 of them. And now 40 years later, Pastor Dale, Pastor Joe Salias, my brother, David Shorter, all these guys that went to school with us, one by one, they started getting saved. And to 10, 15 years, and in 20 years, and even to the 30 years, people have come to know Christ. But because Christ, we pray for them, for your mom, for your dad. I pray for my dad. He got saved. One Sunday morning, we were in West Covina, and I was in, teaching the Word of God, and I had an altar call. I closed my eyes, and I opened my eyes, and my father was right here in the front. And he came to know Christ. And then he was with Christ. I took him to South America with me. He had problems with his heart. And then about maybe 7 years later, he died in the Lord. My mom accepted the Lord. My brother, my sisters. And it's so cool to be able to see when people surrender, submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because number one, we do not know when we're going to die. Are we truly praying before the Lord? Are we really praying? Because look what he said here, interesting, verse 3 again. Then the angel, another angel having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense. The incense was the actual act of the prayers going before the Lord. You see, before the Lord. He was given much incense, and that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Notice, with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Standing from the angel's hand. And listen to this. We notice this, the word another. Another, same kind, identifies the angel and the seven as being of a common order in rank before God Almighty. Wow. Before God Almighty. And then we notice that it is prayer of all the saints, no prayer of the martyrs only. So the martyrs are going to be killed in the tribulation period, great. But before that, our prayers, and when we're taken to heaven, our prayers are going to be in the presence of God. If we've been praying for our loved ones and they don't go in the rapture, they stay behind, our prayers will be there, and those prayers will become not only, notice, with time, that during the time in the tribulation period, because our prayers, they'll never ask for the number of the beast in their lives, but they will die and be beheaded because of the prayer that we've been praying for them. So we notice these things in the Word of God. We notice also that as we pray as saints, that we pray not only for ourselves and our loved ones, but we need to start praying for the martyrs that are going to be killed, that are going to be killed. Even today, they're being killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ in different parts of the world. And then much incense, which appears to be what? The intercession, petitions, and the endorsement of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is one king or one making intercession for who? For the saints. Making intercession for the saints, for you and for me. That is so awesome to see that in the kingdom of God. And you know, when I read this chapter, I was just kind of blown away, because I think, you know, I surely would not want to be here, but then it breaks my heart that so many people that I know that are going to be here because they haven't given their life to Jesus Christ. I've had friends from the past, drugs and all that, they've died already. And I remember going to their bedsides, you know, and talking to them and pray with them. And because of their pride, they wouldn't pray and accept Christ, and they die, and then they go to hell. The hardness of the heart. That's why we need to be ready before the Lord. You don't know what's going to happen. As we read the book of Revelation, we're actually going into the future. We're not going to be here for those things. We're going to be with the Lord. And imagine what people are going to feel like in this earth when they see the heavy things that are coming on the earth. You know, 1/3 of the ocean will be totally polluted. All the fish of the actual seas will come to a stop. You'll see in a moment. The mountains. All these things that will happen where men are going to be looking up, and it says this, instead of repenting, they curse God and they hide in the caves of the mountains. How sad. the hardness of the hearts. Especially if they take the mark of the beast, they're done. They're done. They can't get rid of it. Look at verse 4. In the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascends before God from the angel's hand. The prayer of the saints, our prayers, their prayers, are in the presence of God in the hand of the angels. Number one, we see now the prayer of the saints, not only before God, but before God, clouds of sweet aromatic incense, symbolically to prayer. The prayer that we pray, the prayer that they have prayer. And these prayers result in judgment. Before long, these are prayers for, listen carefully, vengeance. Vengeance against those that behead them. They pray that Jesus will get these people that never took the mark of Jesus, but they took the mark of the beast. And they mistreated the Christians, and they did heavy stuff to the Christians, and now they're asking the Lord, Lord, when are you going to judge them? It's so awesome here to know that my prayers, your prayers, are before the throne of God every day. Isn't that cool? Our prayers are before the throne of God. I love that. That when I come before the Lord, I like to take a walk, or I like to be by myself, or if I pray with my wife, or I pray with my grandkids. But for me individually, I like to be alone. And I like to just take my Bible, take out, you know, like a tablet and a pen, whatever, in case God wants to speak to my heart. And it's so cool because what you're doing is you're separating from everyone and you're coming into the presence of God and you're asking God, God, speak to me individually so that I can speak to others. To others, Lord. Because of the times we're living in today. And the problem will be, will they listen to you when God speaks to you? I believe that people that are spiritual will listen, but those that are carnal will not listen. Like the Corinthian church. And the reason is because they have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. And they're not fully in submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In full submission to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, here am I. Whatever you want to do in my life, Lord, here am I. Why? Because Jesus is the mediator and redeemer of my soul. Your soul, my soul. He's our redeemer. He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. And he will pay for those in the future that come to his loving grace and mercies. Jesus. Look at verse 5. And then the angel took the censer. Notice the censer. Filled it with fire from the altar. And threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden, man, problems began to come in direct answer to prayer. Now God sets in motion, notice the trumpet of judgment. Now the judgment of God is coming, not the grace of God. The angel is the same one to whom, notice, it had much incense. He had been not only given, notice, and had offered upon the coals, placed a censer, but here he is now getting ready to do that. The angel takes a fire from the altar. He mixes it in with the prayers. And notice, and the suffering saints. God protecting that. The prayers and the suffering saints that have been killed in the world by the Antichrist fully and completely. And then their prayer for vindication and justice. And the fire of God's holy wrath are mixed together. Mixed together. And listen, the wrath of God upon the earth, thunders, lightnings, and earthquakes, like we've never seen before. When you read chapter 6 and chapter 18, chapter 16 of Revelations, it says the first earthquake shakes the islands and the mountains out of their sockets. And the second one, it says not one island and not one mountain was found in the face of the earth. Surely you don't want to be here. You want to be with the Lord. Because there's a time coming that is going to be the worst than ever, ever before. Where God is going to bring judgment upon every one of those people that have taken the mark of the beast. Remember what he said? You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't work, you can't do anything unless you get the mark of the beast in your right hand or your forehead. And once you get the mark of the beast, you're done. You can do whatever you want to do. You're done. You're going to hell and you're going into the lake of fire. And so it's important that we understand that during the tribulation, hundreds and millions are going to die. Hundreds and millions. Look at verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepare themselves to sound. They're going to start sounding the judgment of God. So the great trumpet judgments now will be blown upon the earth. And notice, and this will be the judgment of God upon the world that will slaughter. Listen, will slaughter the innocent. Notice that have cursed God. The innocent that have cursed God. No, the ones that have cursed God are going to be destroyed. These are those in the earth that reject and rebel against Jesus. Reject and rebel against Jesus Christ. Do you know people like that? I hope they're not here when that happens. I hope they repent. And maybe you're here. Or maybe they're watching through the internet. But I think it's wise for us every night to pray. And to pray for our families, to pray for our friends, but most important, to pray for one another so that we can become spiritual people, not carnal people. Especially knowing that we're living in the last days. Look around you at the world today. It's horrible. Think about what's happening today. All these kids that are doing all these violent games. Violent games. The parents buying them and allowing them into their homes. And the kids, as they're little and coming up to teenagers and then growing up, they have all this hatefulness from having it so much in their minds and their hearts. And then what happens? They use it, notice, to hurt somebody. To hurt somebody. That's why we need with our children to watch over them. What they hear, what they see, what they're learning. You need to be with them and to pray with them and to sit down with them and tell them what the Bible teaches. So just in case if you have teenagers or young adults and the rapture comes and you're taken and they're left behind, they will know exactly what to do. What to do. That's what John here is writing. Look at verse 7. He says, and then the first angel sounded and the hail and the fire followed. Can you imagine hail and fire? We've never seen that. With blood. And they were thrown to the earth. And the third of the trees were burned. And all the green grass was burned. Imagine everything that's green is gone. Gone. And notice what he said there. And the third of the trees were burned up. The beautiful trees will be burned up. Fully, completely. So the first trumpet, a fierce storm with hail and blood. And hail will be 185 pounds to 200 pounds in weight. We'll see that later on. Way, we've never seen that before. You know what's amazing? When you look at the news on TV, places where have these hail storms, they used to be real low. Now they're getting bigger and bigger each time. It's weird. Bigger and bigger. 180-pound weight of a piece of hail coming down. Imagine that. Into the earth. And then the hail and the fire were spoken in the Old Testament, notice, as God's arsenal of weapons used in the battle against his enemy. In the Old Testament was used. God sent, notice, fire and hail against his enemy. And thirdly, it was used by God as an instrument of his judgment. That's what it's going to be like here. Because of the judgment that he's bringing against them. Against who? Against the rebellious idolaters of this world. The idolaters of this world. And how about the third of the trees burning, it says, with all the grass? This points to what? To suffering, destruction, among every person that dwells on the earth. And if you're a Christian man, you got to repent immediately and ask Christ to take you home. And then it will destroy crops. No food. No food. Supply both for men and animals. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Not to be able to eat. Not be able to hunt. Because all these things are being taken away by God in destruction. And then there will be dry lands from the destruction of the trees. Dry land because there are no trees. The trees and the grass has burned up. There's none in the world. And then check this out, verse 8 and 9, the second trumpet now. He says, burning the mountain, he says, and the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And the third of the sea became blood. Whoa. Can you imagine that? The third of the sea became blood. All of the fish died in the ocean. Died in the ocean. They couldn't fish anymore. Imagine what it says here, in something like a great mountain burning. How about a volcano exploding? A volcano exploding from underneath the sea to the top of the earth. It happens all the time. But this time it's going to kill one third of all the fish in the ocean. And then this explosion here will be a force to fold as an atomic explosion. It's an atomic explosion. And then the third of the sea becomes blood red. One third. One third. By the time Jesus comes back to the earth, out of all the millions and billions of people, only one third will be alive. One third. And through that, he's going to make a separation. Those that took the mark of the beast and those that are going to enter, Jew and Gentile, into the kingdom age. That never took the mark of the beast. There will be people that will live the whole 7 years, and they'll never take the mark of these, but they're going to suffer. They're going to see all these things. And notice that all sea life destroyed, no food for those living in the earth. Verse 9, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. See, there it is. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Not only the fish, but the ships. People that were out there were destroyed fully and completely. All the sea life destroyed for food and fish and industry bankrupt. Even the third of the ships destroyed. Everyone in the sea was dead. And then we notice the effect of the vegetation and the sea with the ships. The world is under great, great judgment by God. We haven't seen that at all yet, but it's coming. And yet, think about your loved ones and friends in the world. They don't even know what's going on. They think everything's going to be cool. Imagine when the church is taken out of the way, what's going to happen? The lies. You know, the flying saucers came and they came and took all these people. You know, a bunch of trash. People believe that's sad. You know? But the Lord came. And we'll be taken. We'll be in the presence of the Lord in a twinkle of an eye. We'll stand in the presence of God. And then the Lord, as we go to the Bema seat of Christ and we're there with Jesus, all of a sudden for 7 years, all hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. Look at verse 10, the third trumpet here. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Check this out, burning like a torch, meteorites, whatever. And it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. They become poison. They can't even drink water. Can you believe that? They can't even drink water out of rivers. One third of the rivers and the springs of water were polluted. Maybe a solitary, you notice, meteorites with great sights coming into the world. It hurts the fresh waters of the earth. Then imagine living without water in this world, which we need water. And then to be able to survive without water in this body, it's an impossibility. Imagine people sitting here turning against one another. Then maybe there's water in the home and they're coming after you for food and water and all these things. But yet what is John doing? He's warning. He's warning us and he's warning the future. And then check this out, verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Remember that, Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the waters because, notice, because it was made bitter. It was made bitter. So we notice that this meteor, notice, poisons the waters of the whole earth. From the earth. Totally poisoned the waters. Wormwood here is used in the Bible as a symbol of idolatry because of its bitterness. Because of its bitterness. And then wormwood is used also to symbolize the bitterness that an immoral person brings into one's own personal life. Into one's own personal life. And then wormwood is used to symbolize the way people dismiss and treat God with disdain. With disdain. Think about that. With disdain. Think of how many people hate God. They make fun of God. They make fun of you. They think you're a fanatic. They think you're just going overboard. And look at the church today as we look at the church. Not just this church. But the churches that are closing, the churches that are allowing homosexuals and lesbians to come into the church and be part of the body of Christ without repentance. Fornicators, liars, whoremongers, child molesters. And then you think, what about the children? These homosexuals, you know, getting married and then they adopt children. Can you imagine what's going to happen to those children? I would not want to be in their shoes on the day of judgment. I would not want to be in their shoes. Because God will judge. God will judge. And they say, well, is that the worst sin? No, sin is sin. And I've talked to homosexuals and I said, we're not condemning you, we're condemning the sin. Not me, God condemns the sin. You need to repent as a fornicator or a liar or a whoremonger. Whatever it is, you need to repent in order to be forgiven. If not, God will judge you. He will judge you. The Bible teaches that. Look again in verse 12. And then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. Notice, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So the third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Notice, there will be a blast on the fourth trumpet judgment to some atomic. Notice, some autonomical eclipse will take place. Boom. And then the judgment will affect the heavens. Not the earth, only the heavens will be affected by it. And yet people don't believe it. People do not believe that this is going to happen. We've never seen it before, but it's coming. And if it's really coming, notice, if it really coming, what should the church do? We need to get on our faces and pray before God. To pray for our brothers, our sisters, our nephews, our nieces, our grandkids. That God will protect them. That as long as the Holy Spirit is here, that He will convict them of sin and draw them to the heart of God. Surely I don't want anyone in my family to be here. Or anybody that I know as a friend. But it's so sad that so many people don't believe. They don't believe even though you show them in the Bible. Satan has blinded so many people. So many people. And then think of all the Christians within the church that are still drinking, they're still fornicating, they still commit adultery, they still lie, they still cheat. And yet they come to church, they hear the worship, they raise their hands, they sing the song, they hear the word of God, but they never change. All they're doing is they're bringing greater judgment upon themselves. Too much is given, much more will be required. Much more. On Sunday morning, it's kind of weird, you know. Some people come after the worship and they come in late. But we need to be in time so we can sit down and worship the Lord, prepare our hearts. Getting here a little bit earlier. So that we can enter into the presence of God and we can be as a body together. Worshiping, praying, as our children are dropped off in the Sunday school with all the other kids, so at the same time they're being taught and they're learning and not being taught by their parents to be late to church or to their classrooms. You're teaching them. And that is any night or any day you come into the house of the Lord. It has to be a priority to come before God so that God can honor you. And God can bless you. And God can use your life to bring glory and honor to Him. To Him. When I go out and speak, I always like to be early, never late. You have to have integrity. And there's a lot of stuff, I'll go earlier. There's been pastors that show up right before they go out. And that's not right. When you get invited, to some place, you need to be, what, on time, you mean a man or woman of integrity. A man or woman of integrity. You don't want people worrying about you, that you're not going to be there on time. In the same way, think about us here at Calvary Chapel, not only coming here, but preparing our hearts when we come here, not thinking about how am I going to do tomorrow, what am I going to do this, do that, you know, or maybe texting while the minister's going on, then you're not really listening to the Holy Spirit. You came the same way, you leave the same way. And we should never leave the same way, we should always leave different by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When I sit down to study before I come here to you, I ask God to teach me and to convict me or to chasten me so I can teach with power. Because I'm just like you. Just like you. Nothing great about pastors. Same as you. You know, God called us to preach and teach. Much is given, much more is required. The way I live at home, the way I live out of home. The way I live in the church, and when I live outside of the church, when I go to the gym, when I go to the grocery store, when I go surfing, when I go skiing, whatever I do, ride motorcycles in the desert, whatever, am I the same person? Why? So that people can see that I know Jesus without preaching to them. They're going to ask you, how come you have such a life as this? And then you can share with them the love of Christ. And that's why when I read these things that are coming upon the earth, it's going to be horrible. Look at verse 13, the angel warning. Three woes announced now. He said, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Wow. We've never seen that before. We've never heard that. Woe, woe, woe. Like, holy, holy, holy. But this is a cursing now, a judgment. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. He says, you think that was bad? Wait till you see now how worse it's going to be. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Unless, he says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be able to survive. No one will be able to survive it. So in the next three blasts that are introduced here, are the three woes which will be have to the non-believer Christian that live on the earth. It's not for the Christian, it's for the non-believer. The trumpet blast, notice, is the fifth judgment. And it will be far more severe than any other judgments. Let me read you from the book of Matthew 24, 15. He says, Jesus, therefore, when you see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Remember Daniel chapter 9, you go ahead and read it when you go home, verse 20 to 27. He says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. There will be babies and kids here in the tribulation period. Woe unto them. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter nor on the Sabbath day. For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be again. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, the Jews that will be here, 144,000, remember? For the elect of the Jews, those days will be shortened. Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ, false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Who's that? The Jews. And notice, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes from the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together in the battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ will come back. So here Jesus already is warning Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Go home and read them. It speaks about the coming tribulation period. And then in Revelation chapter, we read in chapter 9, 10, 11, as we move through, you'll begin to see all these things come to pass just as God said. Listen to Mark 13, 14. So when you see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, he also mentions it. Stand there where he ought not to. Let readers understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back and get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as never been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened those days. Who's that? The Christians and the, what? The Jews. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's Christ, or look, he's there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders and deceive, if possible, notice, even the elect are almost deceived. And then he says, but take heed. See, I have told you all these things beforehand. We have not ignorance. We know what's going to happen. And then lastly, check this out, Luke 21, 34. But take heed, this is to the church. This is not to the future. This is for the church. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with the carousing drunkenness and the cares of this life. Notice, and the day comes upon you unexpectedly. What day? The day of the rapture. We know where the second coming is. The rapture comes and then we count 7 years. Here he's warning the church. Then he says, unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, be on the alert, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come upon the earth. Worthy to escape all these things, they will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is going to come. I believe with all my heart that we're living in such a time as that, that one of these days the trump is going to sound when we least expect it. And when it does, you're going to hear how many people have disappeared and have gone to be with the Lord. Families are going to go crazy because they heard it, but they didn't believe it. And now they're gone. And that's the only place where they're going to have to get on their knees and repent, and they're going to have to be martyred in order to get to the kingdom of God, to heaven. May God help us, you guys, to be straight with God. Holiness unto the Lord. No one will ever see the Lord apart from holiness. Hebrews 12, 14. Read it when you go home. 12:14, no one will see the Lord except what, apart from Jesus Christ, as long as we sit with Christ. Awesome. Obedience and doing what God says. Father, we come before you, Jesus. Lord, to ask you tonight, God, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would touch us, Lord. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in us, to work through us. Father, I give you all the honor, all the praise, Jesus. And Lord, thank you for your people, Lord God. Lord, as they pray for this church, as they pray for the staff, as they pray for me, Lord, our families. And Lord, as we pray for them, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, we would not leave here, Lord God, until we make peace with you, God, that you speak to us, Lord. That you be with each one of us individually to know you and to be in your presence, God, like never before, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that is visiting, Lord. Lord, we pray that you speak to them, Lord, that you would teach them, that you would lead them and guide them, Father. And Lord, that we would humble ourselves before you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we would come in our faces to you, Lord God, just bowing down before you, Lord. And Lord, confessing to you that we have sinned, Jesus. That we have missed the mark. Lord, I pray that no more people would go to hell, Jesus. Lord, people in this church, Lord, that this church would become example, Father, in these last days, Lord Jesus, to be hungry for the word of God, Father, to live holy lives, not to compromise, Father, in any way. Our children, Father, protect and watch over them. Our wives, Father, our husbands, grandpas, grandmas, Lord God, aunts, uncles, nephews, whoever they are, Jesus. Lord, make us salt and light, Father. Lord, we give you all of our hearts, Jesus. And for those that are here, if you're visiting, we're not going to force you. You can leave the same way you came. But if you want to receive Christ, you want eternal life, you want your name to be written in the book of life, and the guarantee that if you die tonight, you go to heaven, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, come up here to the front, and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to worship. You get up and you come. For those watching through the internet, you can pray with us through this prayer. I want you guys to pray with me and repeat after me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and to wash me by your blood from every one of my sins. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give us a Bible. See right over there, you guys? Go right over there. Awesome. Right over there. See that guy? Go ahead. Awesome, awesome. That is so neat. Awesome, awesome. The future of the church. That's awesome.